bleeding though, so we're recording. Hold on.
Okay.
My kitty scratched me.
Oh my god, I'm like really bleeding.
Are you gonna edit that into our podcast?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Bleeding. I'm really bleeding.
I'm really bleeding.
All right.
Hi.
So I feel like we're really bad at this podcast thing. Like, we don't ever introduce ourselves.
Nope.
Like, we just automatically assume everybody knows who we are and what they're listening to and all that good stuff.
I know. So the bleeding person is my cousin, Charisse.
Hi.
And I'm Alicia. I'm the person whose cat did not attack her today.
Well, he didn't attack me today. He attacked me, like, yesterday.
Oh, and you're still bleeding?
And then I just scratched my arm, forgetting that there was a cat scratch there, and then I am now making it bleed.
Good job.
Yay.
So this is a podcast about just weird crap we like to talk about. So, like, today, for instance, we're going to talk about UFO folklore.
Mm-hmm. Which I actually don't know a ton about. The two things that I'm going to talk about, I do know a little bit about. And then one of the things, I don't know what you're talking about.
That's fine.
Nobody knows what we're talking about.
Right. No one knows.
All right. So yeah, basically alien and UFO folklore. So let me pull up my notes. So I was going to start this episode off talking about a little story about black-eyed children.
Ooh.
Yes.
I don't like that.
Things with little kids are creepy. I don't know why.
Children are terrifying.
They really are. So this could maybe even fall into, you know, what was that?
The cat. I was making her dance on camera for you. And
I
then
didn't
she...
see. I had my notes pulled up.
Oh, I forgot.
All I heard, I'm looking at my notes and all I hear is some creepy sound.
That was the cat dancing and hating it.
She sounded like she really loved it. And there she goes.
Okay, I'm sorry.
For those of you listening, we do this on a video call. So half the time we can see each other if we're not looking at our notes on the computer screen.
But anywho.
Yes, back to importantness. All right, yes. So black-eyed children. Nobody really knows what they are, but people think that they're most likely some sort of extraterrestrial, like some sort of like weird alien hybrid children or something.
Ew.
Some people say they could be vampires, and other people think they might just be regular old ghosts. To me, with the stories and stuff, they definitely sound a lot more like extraterrestrial.
Okay.
So here's where, though, people are like, do these things really exist? Because,
like, here's the thing. Has anyone seen any of these creepy
things?
Well,
yeah, people say they have.
Oh.
But it's also kind of one of those, like, oh, yeah, my friend saw this kid. And then, you know, it's kind of like an modern urban legend almost.
Okay.
However, if they are extraterrestrials, maybe they just showed up somewhat recently because, you know, they just arrived at this planet or the government just created them recently or something, you know. So who really knows? But apparently it started, the origin is from a reporter in Texas named Brian Bethel. And this was in 1996. And
oh, okay.
He wrote an article talking about his encounter with two of these kids. And then supposedly he said somebody else had an unrelated but similar encounter all the way in Oregon. So, and you know, I mean, nobody could prove him right or prove him wrong. But then ever since then, it seems like people all over are talking about these children and seeing these kids. And the story is always the same. It's usually like 1 to 3 children varying in age from, you know, like 6, 7 years old all the way up to like teenage years.
Okay.
And they're always really weird. They always talk in a really weird tone of voice. And obviously they're called the black-eyed children because their entire eyes are black. Not just like their iris and their pupil are black. Even the white part of their eye is black as well. And so that's usually the weird part of it. And then they also seem to have telepathic abilities. Some people seem to get sick when they've been in the presence of these children. And usually what it is the kids knocking on a door asking to come in and use the telephone because they need to wait for their parents, or they're knocking on your car window wanting to sit in your car while they wait for their parents. Just really creepy stuff. And there's several different stories, which I will share with you now.
Ooh.
All right. So this was a super, I mean, all these are pretty recent since the first recorded story or report of them is from 1996, but this was in winter of 2016. And there was this lady in Vermont, and I guess it was like super snowy, a blizzard outside, and she heard knocking on her door. And when she opened the door, there was a boy and a girl standing there, and they were super cold, and they asked to use her phone. And so the woman didn't even think anything of it. She just immediately let them in because it's, you know, she has a heart and it's cold outside. But when she went to get her phone to hand it to the kids, that's when she realized that their eyes were completely black. And these aren't normal children. So here's where it's really creepy though. So basically at the same time that she noticed that the kids' eyes were all black, her nose starts bleeding.
Oh, God.
And the power goes out.
Oh, great.
Yeah, all at the same time. And then after a moment, the children spoke at the same time saying that their parents were there. The parents had arrived. And they walked out of the house, and the woman looked out the window and saw as they got into some dark, unmarked car with a man in a suit driving the car, which that will tie into what you're going to be talking about. So a man in a suit driving some nondescript black car, and the children get in it and they drive off. But this is super sad because not long after that, her husband was diagnosed with skin cancer, and she herself began to suffer regular nosebleeds and other medical issues. And they both think that it was because of their, you know, connecting with these black-eyed children.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
So fun. This kind of reminds me of that creepy movie, Village of the Damned, except the kids had like blue eyes, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Like,
and like really
white hair.
Yes.
Yes.
They were creepy too.
Okay. So here is another story. I'll just share a couple of these. So this was back in 2010. And there was a man who was at work, and he was working in the night shift, and he went outside. It was during the summer. Actually, this took place in Ohio.
Oh.
I'm not sure where in Ohio, though.
Hopefully not by me.
It was right next door to you.
Oh, God, really? Oh.
So he went outside for a smoke break, and when he was outside, he saw two teenage boys standing across the street, just staring at him, like, not moving, not talking, nothing, just staring at him. So he felt a little uncomfortable.
You don't say.
Yeah. So then he went back inside, and I guess they had security cameras around the building that he could see. Well, so, you know, since he's working night shift, and he sees through one of the security cameras that both the boys were standing in front of the building, like signaling for him to come back outside.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he went to the door because he was going to tell the kids, like, he didn't go outside. He just went to the glass door and told the kids, like, he's going to tell them, you know, go the hell away. I'm going to call the police. But before he could even get that out, it was like the kids had read his mind, and they told him that would be unnecessary to call the police, that they just needed to use the phone. So that would be scary. So obviously this dude did not let them into the office to use the telephone, and just, they wouldn't leave. And they just stood there staring into the camera, and he felt like it was like they were seeing him through the camera, basically. So he ended up calling the police because the kids were not leaving, and he could see the kids on the video, but the police arrived on scene and apparently couldn't find the teenagers. Yeah, so, like, was he hallucinating? Like, were they some kind of ghosts or something, and that's it?
Oh.
Okay. I don't know. All right.
Yikes. So,
here's one more story, and then, I have a couple more, too, so you let me know how many you want to hear.
Let's just do one more.
Okay. I'll share one more. And I forgot to say too, the other claims of it are the kids are sometimes dressed in like old-timey clothes.
That's
like,
kind of hideous on top like of everything else.
Clothes. Or the kids will talk and it's like they don't know of like modern day stuff, really. Yeah. I don't know. Why does that make it creepier?
I don't know.
It really does though. All right. So this story is there was a man and he was asleep in his room. Or no, I'm sorry. He was in a room with his daughter. He was sleeping in the bed next to his daughter's crib. And he heard a strange noise outside, like a bump. And he didn't really think anything of it because, you know, it could have been an animal or whatever.
Right.
But then the bumps were continuing.
Oh.
Yeah. So he went out and he checked the porch and, you know, there was no animal, no cats or dogs or anything. Then he went into the kitchen and he found two figures just standing outside of his front door on his porch, his front porch. And they knocked on the door and they were little boys around like 10 or so. And apparently they must have really smelled strongly because he could smell them through the door and they gave off like a moldy smell. I don't know, like almost like a smell, like an old basement kind of smell.
Ooh, like all musty.
Yes. And they asked, may we use your telegraph?
Ooh.
Yeah, like, what? And it was at this time when they were speaking to him through the door that the man realized that they both had eyes that were completely black. And he told them that he doesn't have service in his house and he walked away. And then they started thumping and bumping on the walls of the house.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So like they weren't leaving. So and then they started knocking on the window of the bedroom that he was in with his little baby daughter. And he was too scared to fall asleep, obviously. So they knocked on the door or the walls and windows and stuff every couple of minutes for like hours. And it wasn't until the morning time that it stopped and they were nowhere to be seen.
Oh, good.
Yep.
Hate that.
So fun.
Good. Well, since we talked about children getting in cars with men and creepy.
That sounds horrible.
Black suits, I think it's a good time for me to share mine.
Yay.
Okay, so I did two as well. I did one that I think everyone knows, the Men in Black, just because of the movies and I don't know. I knew about them when I was younger because I found some creepy book. But
yeah.
So the men in, so hold on. So basically I pulled my information from BuzzFeed and then Slate. So I'm just going to do a little compilation of the two. So basically the Men in Black are described, I mean, this is like a literal thing. They're literally men wearing black suits and they are sinister and expressionless. And they only contact two types of people, people who claim to have seen a UFO and people who research UFOs.
Hmm.
So when they come into contact with these people, they present themselves as members of a secret organization. And sometimes they'll have, apparently they, oh my God. So sorry, side note, I need to quit saying apparently. Nope. I'll cut this part out.
He's going to keep barking for a minute.
Okay. You know, I'm just going to keep going then. Let's go back to my notes. Where'd they go? Here they are. So people claim that the Men in Black use scare tactics and intimidation to bully people who claim they've seen UFOs into remaining quiet. And the first report about the Men in Black came from a guy named Harold Dahl from Puget Sound, Washington, in June 1947. He was out on his boat on the Puget Sound when he saw six donut-shaped objects in the sky. One of the objects fell apart, spilled debris, and killed his dog and injured his son.
Aww.
I know, it's sad. He took pictures to document the debris, but he claims they were later fogged over by a man in black who told him not to speak of what happened. That sounds convenient.
Yeah.
Then there was a guy, another Ohioan, Robert Richardson, 1967 in Ohio from Toledo. He claimed he collided with a UFO while driving.
What?
Yes. But upon on impact, the object vanished.
Huh.
But after the crash, he brought home a small lump of metal, and he thinks it was from the crash. And he says a week later, he was visited by two men in black suits who asked for the metal. He informed them he had already given the piece of metal to authorities for testing, and then they threatened his wife.
Oh.
Yeah. Then another encounter was 1968 by Jack Robinson, a UFO researcher in New Jersey, and he said that he and his wife had been terrorized by a man in a black suit who would stand across the street from their apartment. That's actually very creepy.
Yeah.
And then they would come home and their apartment would have been rummaged through.
Ew.
And after they had seen the man in black outside their apartment for 3 days, one of the couple's friends took a picture of the man. And actually, if you look up Man in Black and Timothy Green Beckley, you will see a picture of this.
Well, now I need to look this up.
Well, you must.
Man in Black where?
Timothy Green Beckley, B-E-C-K-L-E-Y. So he's saying this was one of the creepy men just standing outside his friend's apartment for days.
Yeah.
Do you see him?
Dude with the top hat?
Yeah.
Wait, what year was this?
1968.
Okay. That's weird.
They were still kind of dapper back then, Charisse. People
I know. The men in black were definitely a little dapper. This is he looks, I don't know.
So then...
actually, I guess the hat isn't that much of a top hat. It was just a shadow.
It's like a fedora. It's like a fedora.
Okay, yeah. In the first photo I saw, it looks like it was like an Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Super
no.
tall top hat. I'm like, what is going on here?
So then I guess like as time went on, the encounters get more bizarre. So in 1976, Dr. Herbert Hopkins, he's a doctor who was studying a UFO incident. He got a phone call from a man who identified himself as a representative of a New Jersey UFO organization. And then the man asked if he was alone and available to discuss his research. Hopkins agreed to talk with him. And by the time they finished discussing, the man from the phone was walking up the stairs to his door.
Oh.
Yeah. He said that the guy was wearing a neatly tailored black suit, was bald, had no eyebrows or eyelashes, and had smooth, red, plasticky-looking skin and ruby red lips.
Ew.
He said the man in black took out a coin and told him to watch it. As he watched it, it started to develop a silver color instead of copper. Then the silver became bluish, and then the penny slowly dematerialized. Okay. And then the man in black ordered him to destroy his UFO research. Okay, so I'm going to give you one last story. It's someone you might know of. Mm. In January 2002, the actor Dan Aykroyd says he was visited by a man in black.
Stop.
Yes. So in January 2002, he sold a series to Sci-Fi Channel called Out There, which I'd never seen, but have you?
No, I think it sounds familiar.
Yeah, so it was called Out There, and it's basically like our podcast. They would just talk about weird stuff like UFOs, crop circles, alien abductions. And on a break during interviews for the upcoming show, he stepped outside and saw a black Ford sedan with a man in black standing outside of it. He then looked away for a brief moment, and when he looked back, the car was gone. Two hours after the car disappeared, Dan was given the bad news from producers. He said, this is a direct quote, "We were told not to continue taping and the show was canceled and none of them would air."
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's so earthy.
Oh my gosh.
What?
Hold on. Okay, now I need everyone to Google Shane Sovar, because there was an incident where a hotel camera apparently captured men in black storming into the hotel.
What's the last, how do you spell the last name?
S-O-V-A-R. Type in Shane Sovar video.
Oh my goodness.
And you see these two businessy looking guys, like they're really tall and pale looking with these, and they're even wearing fedoras.
They are, they're fedoras.
And this was in 2008. And
I'm just looking at the stills of the... Why are we so creeped out? I mean, like, literally, this could just be, like, businessmen.
Something about...
going to a meeting, but
I
we're
know.
Like...
we're like, what? I don't know, something about people wearing old-timey clothes and being real threatening and purposeful in their walk makes me scared.
They do look, and it is weird, though, that they are dressed identical.
Yeah, I mean, businessmen, I guess all business clothes look alike, but why are you both wearing fedoras in 2008?
Yeah, like the exact same.
Mm-hmm.
Weird. Super weird.
Right?
And then I wonder, so are they government officials or are they some sort of, I feel like they must be like actually human.
Yes. I don't think they're like supernatural beings.
Well, because I feel like if they were extraterrestrials or something, they would just be able to do something to our brains like without us seeing them. Like, I don't feel like they would have to physically be there.
Oh, right. Like the movie that cancels your imagination or your cancels your memory.
Yes. Something like that. Weird.
I know.
Okay. So my next story, maybe those men in black work here. And if you did see the movie, this was also in the movie, director, is Area 51.
Ooh.
So this is pretty much, I think it's men in black and Area 51 are like the two things that I think everybody seems to know about. But I did in my research learn a little bit more about Area 51 than I had originally knew. So Area 51 is a United States Air Force base, and it's in the Nevada desert, basically. I think it's north of Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
That's like northwest of Las Vegas. And it's situated next to a lake called Groom Lake. And the site, the land, was acquired by the Air Force in 1955. And they said it was primarily for flight testing of different aircraft, particularly the Lockheed U-2 aircraft, which was before. But Area 51 has always been surrounded with a lot of like mystery, and nobody really knows what goes on there. And a big part of it is because up until 2013, the government denied that it even existed.
Oh yeah, that's no.
Yes,
so like, in a day like today with Google Maps, like yeah, you couldn't really do that.
But I mean, it wasn't even until the Freedom of Information Act came out in like 2010 or whatever.
Oh.
And then 2013, that's when they formally officially announced that it existed.
Even existed?
Yeah. So up until 2013, even with aerial photographs and stuff, they were like, nope.
That's crazy. Cause that was real. that was just like the other day, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. So then it's kind of like, all right, for all these years that people said this base existed and people were like, oh, you're just crazy. And then they're like, no, it has existed. So what else are people saying that really goes on here that the government is like, no, that's not real. I mean, who knows, in like 20 years, are they going to come out and be like, okay, you're right, this was real. So who knows?
Yeah.
So even though they've admitted that this place exists, the primary purpose of this base is still pretty unknown. Like, even though they've admitted that this Air Force base is here, it's still really shrouded and very protected. You know, everybody that works there only receives certain information about their particular department. There's tons of security to get in and out of the place. And if you even go to within like the radius of the land, you can look on YouTube and stuff. It's so creepy. There's basically military in like white Jeeps and stuff posted up on the hills, watching your every move. Like,
oh,
there in their Jeeps, just waiting for you to do something. There's different cameras set up all around, different sort of sensors too. Like, the closer, if you're trying to approach from, you know, the desert rather than one of the main roads, there's like little sensors in the desert for you, for them to, I guess, register, you know, hey, there's somebody approaching. So it's super, super guarded.
Wow.
Yeah. So based on history and the little bit that they have leaked to us or shared with us, is that it is for, you know, testing aircraft. But there are more mysteries. So other people think, though, there's a huge underground area as well. Like they say, from what you can see on top is just like barely any part of it, that all of it is really underground. And people say that at Area 51, they store, examine, and do reverse engineering of alien spacecraft.
Oh.
And I guess some of the material from the Roswell crash from 1947 was housed there. They also study alien bodies as well, like living and dead alien bodies. They do meetings with extraterrestrials. So these are all things that, you know, people say happen there. That they are developing like energy weapons. Let's see, they try to do means of weather control. Like they study different weather control things, which that could be a whole other episode too, the government doing weird weather control things. They're also working on the development of time travel and teleportation technology, propulsion systems, and yeah, things related to the one world government as well. So all of those things are, you know, they're not necessarily proven, but it seems like most things when there's like crazy hypotheses and theories and stuff, there always seems to be a little bit of like some truth to them, you know? So I wouldn't doubt this stuff.
Yeah. Who's to say?
Exactly. So there have been a few people that have worked at Area 51 that no longer work there have come out to say things that have happened. So there is a man named Bob Lazar, and he claims that in 1989, he worked in Area 51 and supposedly worked in an underground sector of Area 51. And he said he was contracted to work with alien spacecraft that the government had in its possession, which that's interesting. And 1996, there was a documentary called Dreamland, and it was directed by Bryce Burgess. And in this, it had an interview with a 71-year-old mechanical engineer, and he says that he used to be a former employee at Area 51 during the 50s. And he claimed that he worked on a flying disc simulator, and it was based off of like equipment that they found from a crashed UFO.
Ooh.
And they were using it to train US pilots to fly these things.
That's interesting.
Yeah. But here's crazy though. He says that he worked with an extraterrestrial.
Oh.
Nicknamed J-Rod.
What?
Why is that so funny to me? I don't know. Yeah, an extraterrestrial named J-Rod.
What?
And apparently this J-Rod was a telepathic translator.
What?
So maybe he's related to the Black Eyed Children.
Well, how is this guy not like dead?
I don't know. Maybe they just think at this point he's like some 71-year-old man. Oh, he's just crazy. He's senile.
Also, they probably feel like no one's going to believe an alien's name is J-Rod. So it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Don't worry about it. He's okay.
That was their plan all along. All right, we're going to give you this ridiculous name so when people talk about you, nobody will believe it. But here's where this is weird. So in 2004, a different person, his name was Dan.
D-Rod? D-Rod?
D-Rod. His name was D-Rod. He claimed to have worked in Area 51 cloning alien viruses.
Oh, that's no.
Yeah. We don't need an alien viruses. Like that's how 28 Days Later starts. That's how like The Walking Dead began, is from freaking J-Rod helping Dan to clone alien viruses, because Dan says that he worked alongside an alien named J-Rod.
Okay. Hey, yeah. J-Rod is a being of many talents, apparently.
Yeah, he's telepathic and knows how to clone alien viruses.
Got a jazzy little nickname.
He does. I picture him with like, I don't know, some nice little high top sneakers on and
Why am I imagining Alf right now?
I don't know.
I'm imagining Alf.
J-Rod and Alf.
Oh my God.
Anywho, so yeah, there's not really any like definitive proof of what goes on or what does not go on at Area 51. So there we go.
Wow. Well, my second story doesn't have any fun little nicknames. It's just got some crazy words in it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I told you I was doing the Men in Black and also angel hair, and you were like, I don't know what angel hair is. So this is kind of fun.
I like the pasta.
Yes, me too. It's not that though. Actually, you might know what this is once I get into it.
Okay.
Maybe you know it as something else, but okay. So angel hair or silicus cotton is a sticky fibrous substance reported in connection with UFO sightings. So imagine like a weird cobwebby / jelly type stringy thing.
Ew.
Yeah, like a little pile of stringy things.
Very descriptive.
I know. I'm really good at it. Okay, so this is the first time the first like written record of discovering angel hair after some weird UFO type situation. So this was in 1561.
1561?
So, yes.
That's a long time ago.
Sure is. So around dawn on April 14th, 1561, residents of Nuremberg, which correct me if I'm wrong, anybody, but I think that's in Germany, they saw what they described as an aerial battle. So they're just staring up in the sky where they see a large black triangular object flitting around and then a large crash outside the city. And there were hundreds of spheres and cylinders and weird shaped objects moving erratically overhead. And a bunch of people saw it. And
that's crazy.
Yeah.
Especially in 1561. Like they didn't have anything like that.
No. So
they
probably
freaked the hell out.
Oh my God. I know. Right. So it sounds to me that J-Rod must have Area 54. Wait, 51, not 54. That's like Studio 54. So sounds like J-Rod did help them figure out time travel. Cause maybe they just brought all the spacey things into like, I don't know, the 1500s and just did some stuff. I don't know. It just seems weird. But there's like this wooden, they call it a broadsheet news article. So this article came out later in the month describing the event. And there was this woodcut that was engraved with a drawing of what it looked like. So you can actually see this in one of these museums in Zurich, Switzerland. So this woodcut still exists. Mm-hmm. And the broadsheet describes objects of various shapes, including crosses, globes, two lunar crescents, a black sphere, tubular objects, round objects. And it's just literally all these different shapes darting around the sky at dawn. Yeah, right? So after this happened, right, there was a bunch of angel hair left over. I think that it floated down from the sky, like the UFOs. I don't know, maybe it's some kind of form of their own chemtrails, but instead of like, and I'm probably using that word wrong, but instead of like, you know, gas, there's just weird jelly cobwebby substances coming out of the engines of their crafts or something. So now there's two explanations. So do you want to start with scientific explanations or the unscientific explanations?
Let's do science.
Okay. So scientists say that some, and this is actually terrifying, some types of spiders can migrate through the air on cobweb gliders.
Why does that sound so cute though?
I'm literally, like I know.
They're like, wee! Flying
that is so cute.
It really is.
And when they found some of this angel hair in other situations, they would find little spiders on them. So some people are saying it could be a coincidence that the spiders were there or whatever. So in 1959, in a Portuguese city, there was a substance that was called angel hair, and they looked under the microscope at the University of Lisbon, and they found it was produced by a small insect. So I think that the spider theory seems to be, you know, and then another thing is atmospheric electricity can cause floating dust particles to be polarized, which can make a long filament.
Interesting.
And then the last one is in 1957 and 1917, these two samples were found to be vegetables, not an animal, when they looked at the angel hair under a microscope.
What kind of vegetable?
I don't know. You know, when you pull corn husks off, sometimes there's like silky, but they're not very cobwebby or like jelly-ish.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm just trying to grasp at straws here. So now let's do the unscientific ones because those are going to be fun. The first one is that ionized air may be sleeting off the electromagnetic field that surrounds a UFO.
Huh.
That also sounds cute.
Why does that sound cute?
I'm just laughing at the little spider gliders. They're so cute. I'm seeing
they
like
they really are. I see it too. Like the spider's just freaking ecstatic to be gliding through the air.
I love this so much.
I do. I want somebody to like draw a little picture.
Oh my God. Will someone please just draw a cute little spider glider?
Oh.
And UFOs in the background too, because that's cute. And then a couple cats. Charisse's cat and my cat.
Okay. Yay.
I like this. I like how we just force someone to like draw a picture. Please do it though. And then there's two other theories, and that's excess energy being converted into matter. And that's not as cute as spider gliders. And then the last one is that the usage by UFOs of a G field would cause heavy atoms in ordinary air to react amongst themselves and produce a precipitate that falls to the ground and disappears as the ionization decreases. I'm going to go with spider gliders.
Actually, you know what?
Yeah,
spider gliders. Just because I want to say it. Now that I think about it, I have heard of sometimes where there's weird type UFO sightings, but it's more like globs of jelly.
Ooh, the plasma.
Yeah.
Right? Plasma?
Well, different than like what happens at, you know, during like paranormal stuff. This is more.
Oh, different.
Just like globs.
Goopy goop.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird.
It is weird.
What's so weird is that there's already weird enough stuff in this plane of existence and on this earth that we don't know about.
I know.
But then you throw in all the weird crap in space that we don't know about yet. It's just, it boggles my mind.
You know what's a fun UFO story that I think if people are interested in that type of thing, they should read?
Which?
Is so it's called Armada by Ernest
Cline. You were gonna say it's called J-Rod, the spider glider flyer.
I feel like you just wrote a children's book.
I did. J-Rod and his spider glider. Why do I really kind of want to write that now?
I think you should. I like this so much. Oh my gosh. But Armada's fun. It's written by the guy that wrote Ready Player One, which is also a good book. That's about video games though. But this one's about, also video games. It's about, there's aliens, spacecrafts, and people play this video game where they shoot alien spacecrafts and not realizing that it's not really a video game. It's been a training tool so that when the aliens come to Earth, they can grab the top like 50 or 100 players in the world and have them pilot drones to actually get rid of these aliens.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy.
And it's super fun.
I'm sure J-Rod and his friends don't think it's very fun though.
Well, J-Rod's very upset, I'm sure. It's fine. What do you like if you're an alien though and you're just stuck on Area 51 like helping the government? Like what's your motivation? Like why would you? Just so they don't kill you?
I mean, maybe they have J-Rod's family.
Aw.
Who knows? I know. Poor J-Rod. Or J-Rod's just a big
jerk.
Douche. Yeah. And J-Rod wants to like
J-Rod does
destroy the human race.
But wait, why would Area 51 want to destroy the human race? They're humans.
Or are they?
Oh.
I don't know. But they don't want to destroy all of the human race. They want to just destroy our enemies. Because they're, I mean, that's not secret that the government works on like weird, you know, disease, chemical warfare.
Right. You know?
I mean, that's not uncommon. So it doesn't seem too far-fetched that they are working on like weird alien diseases. Because they say if you go up to like space or from Mars and like, or even in meteorites, sometimes there will be like weird, what am I trying to say?
I have no idea.
Not DNA, not chemicals. I guess like, yeah, weird like particles that aren't organisms. That's what I'm trying to say. There's like little organisms inside the meteorites that are not from Earth. Yeah. And that could make us really sick.
That's true.
We're all going to die.
And on that optimistic note.
All right.
Submit your UFO stories to us.
Yes. And please, talking to you, person.
Me? Oh.
Oh, this person,
sorry.
Listening.
I can see your face.
Talking to this person listening.
This one person? The one this, person?
This one person.
Our Aunt Marian.
Oh. Like our podcast and leave a review.
A nice review.
A nice review, please. Thanks. And I'll send you a spider glider, but not really, because I don't have a spider glider.
Oh,
I know. But yeah, like us, review us, follow us on social media, podcast_obscura on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.